Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Low Down and Dirty, presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the mile at Syracuse to the bull rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman.
Hey, folks. Whippy here. Low Down and Dirty Tuesday night. In the house, Mr. Mike Faltenberger, Captain Scotty Dell. Kind of getting some things figured out. On the show tonight, we're going to have Mr. Cressley. And 9 o'clock, 9:15, we're going to have the Danny Snyder, the Hammer. The winner of the Firecracker 40. So that'll be cool. I like Danny. He's a good guy. And Brett's an up-and-coming shoe, man. I like that kid. So, had some Pennsylvania Speed Weeks. Mr. Greg Hodnick kicked off the Speed Weeks with a win at the Williams Grove Speedway on a last lap pass with Danny Dietrich. Got to say, that's mojo, you know. Because we had him on a week before that. So, hey, mojo's worked.
Well, we were hot there because Hodnett won that race at Williams Grove, and Danny Buckafuska had a hell of a night at Lanco, 35 cars, and then I had Brett Cressley on my TV show, and he won week at Grandview, so I had the hat trick.
Yeah, the hat trick. The mojo's flowing over, Mike. So, and then we had night number two at, where were we at? Lincoln Speedway, and Alan Crimes picked up the win for that. And they rolled into Grandview Speedway, and unfortunately, Mother Nature rained that one out. And then everybody said, well, it didn't rain, yada, yada. I wouldn't want to be a promoter. How about you?
Well, they did say it rained, and then, Tina took notice that from the rain they had the whole week, the front stretch was like underwater, and there was, and that day there wasn't any sun. It was overcast and cloudy, and there was no breeze or nothing, so it wasn't going to dry any of the water up. And then it did have showers later on that night. So, you know, in the long run, it was a good call. And I don't believe Rogers has the final call anyway. I think that Bob Miller has the final call. So when he put it out at 11:30, that was it.
That was it. I mean, they've been doing something right because Mr. Miller's been there for 24 years with Thunder on the Hill, and the Rogers have been running it for 51 years. So hats off to them. I don't care what people say. And this one I don't get. Hagerstown, they went to Pennsylvania Speed Weeks and they went to Hagerstown, Maryland.
Well, I think it's basically the car. It's Pennsylvania Speed Week as far as the car is concerned, you know, like the Pennsylvania Posse and stuff. But, they go to Maryland for a Pennsylvania Speed Week.
Yeah, for a Penn Speed Week show.
Yeah, that'd be like driving up to Middletown for, you know.
Yeah. But the big shocker, this kind of was a surprise. Dave Blaney shows up and wins. The NASCAR guy.
Yeah. Well, he has that number 10 together, and he's been coming in when they're in the area. He's been racing around here. He was at Williams Grove a couple times, I believe. He also, with Tony Stewart, came in. So, and I guess Casey Kane just finally realized that Rick Hendrick doesn't want him to do all this outside racing now since the tragic accident of Jason Leffler. So he's cutting his schedule back, but that's not going to stop Tony and Blaney. So they're good to go.
Yeah. And then this is like the biggest race of the Speed Weeks, the Kevin Gopirk Memorial, I think. You know, and Stevie Smith picked up the win for that, which is pretty cool because him and Kevin pretty much grew up together. So that was probably pretty an emotional win for the Bandit. So, and then where'd they go after that? Oh, back to the Grove. And Mr. Dietrich redeemed himself and picks up the win. So, and it's a... He has mojo, too. So, that was cool. And then the most shocking one, which is cool because I like this kid, Blaine Heimbach wins at Port Royal. I would have never thought that one.
In the long run, they need an underdog or some, you know, not one of the favorites to actually win and do good. It actually makes the crowd, you know, more attentive, the idea that, hey, look at this. This guy's coming in and beating the Raymers, the Deweeses, the Hodnets, you know, the Blaneys and stuff. So they do need something like that.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, he's a former 358 kid, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like he don't know how to go fast. He went around Sealers Grove all the time. So you got to give it to him. And then that was race number. And then race number 9 was Sealers Grove, and they got canceled on Sunday. Thunderstorms.
Well, it poured. I left the Pocono Raceway after the IndyCar race was over, and it was starting to cloud up then, and I could see to the distance over towards the west that they were probably going to get drenched, and they sure did.
They did, because me and Eric Whip were on our way, and we got the phone call from the Queen, and we were at 61 at Cabela's.
Yeah.
So Eric got on his GPS and went through what is that? Frackville. Yeah.
Up to 81.
Yeah, up to 81. And wiggled our way into Greenwood Valley Speedway for their Pennsylvania 600.
Well, they were underwater, too.
They were buried. And God bless them. Jerry Krebling. I met him Sunday.
Yeah. He was a race car driver at one time.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, he ran a speedster last year when the speedsters were at Greenwood Valley. I think he finished in the top five.
See, now you got to love this guy because that's his house up there, right?
Yes.
It's his house. It's his yard. So he put a racetrack in there.
Yeah.
And I haven't been there since 07. And when I was there, you could see over those pine trees in 1 and 2. You can't no more.
No,
you know,
no.
They're really grown up. But what a racy little place.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice, spacious, semi-bank, fifth mile.
Yeah.
And he treats everybody the same.
Mm-hmm.
And he
does everything.
He's a flag man. Yes.
He's
the
a
flag.
Track prep.
Yes.
I've seen an ambulance.
I think he makes one of the items in the concession stand, too.
Oh,
I believe
yeah.
he makes the soup or something in the concession stand.
Because years ago, I used to have this gripe. They never had an ambulance.
Yeah.
But they do now.
Right.
So hats off to them for that. Because I think every racetrack, they should be an ambulance. And qualified professions to take care of these incidents.
Not just the driver that's there just for the sake of getting a couple bucks. Yeah, they need somebody that's actually, you know, licensed to handle the accidents if it happens.
Yes, because God bless the little girl in the infield at Grandview Speedway, the safety girl, the EMT. When Mann Miller flipped, she was like the road runner, man. She just flew over to there. So, and I've seen her run to other accident scenes, too. She's on the ball.
On the ball. Sometimes she might get there too quick. She's got to watch both ways and make sure she's not going to be the next one going off on the stretcher.
But at Greenwood Valley, it was round 2 of the 600 Micro Pennsylvania Speed Weeks. And Timmy Buckwalter picked up the win. And if all weather permitting, tomorrow night at the Action Track will be round 3.
Wingless
for the first time in Pennsylvania Speed Weeks, and announced at Greenwood Valley Sunday night by Barry Angstad, 2000 next year's 600 micros will be all wingless. Is that a sign of the beginning of the end of the wing?
Linda's is still under the assumption that, you know, they follow the assumption or the theory that, you know, if it's a sprint car, it has wings on it. Well, it's considered a micro sprint, so a sprint has to have wings on it. But they've found that their better shows as far as the race itself has been the cars without the wings on them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm excited for tomorrow. Yeah.
Dual heats.
Dual heats. Good one, Eric. I know. You guys are going to be pressed for time.
I'll do what I can do.
I'm just giving you a heads up.
Well, the thing about it is, and most of the micro tracks are like that, you know, once the first caution in the feature, it's single file. They don't do that for Speed Week.
It's double file all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Except if you have a restart and they don't get another lap in, then you go single file. But if you get a lap in after the restart, you stay double file.
So, I mean, I think it's going to be an exciting show. So, and then after all the Pennsylvania Speed Weeks was over with, your champion, Greg Hodnett, with more mojo. Freddie was second. Stevie Smith, Sam Havertease Jr., that was cool. He went up at Big Diamond on Sunday, and I thought it was a good race. I mean, hey, people were like, there was no passing. But, hey, you know what? That dude had a bullet, man, and he was gone. So, I thought it was a good show. So I hope they go back next year. You know.
Well, they said the best finish was at Lincoln, three wide coming off
three
the
fourth. Wide for first, second, and third, and third or fourth, fifth, and sixth. They said it was three wide. So my buddy Eric Whip was down. He keeps me informed. So, and then Friday night up at Big Diamond, the old Mimi DeSantis rocks him again. I mean, Mimi's hot. You know, he's on a tear. He's winning quite a bit for the Georgie Stevens Memorial. The 1C was second. Jeff Strunk was third. Doug Manmiller, good to see Doug back after a flip at Grandview. Ray Swinehart and Ricky Yetter and Timmy Buckwalter. So it's a good show. I enjoyed it. And then you were at Grandview Saturday.
Yes, it was. I'm starting to call him the late lap sensation, Craig Van Doren.
It
just seems like if he's in the top four with three or four laps to go and there's a restart, you're not going to count him out of victory lane. And again, Saturday night, he proved that it was the Kellner Meitzler show there for a while. And then all of a sudden they had, I guess it was a restart with three or four to go. First turn, went around Meitzler, and he went underneath Kellner and
no.
It's all over.
Yeah.
And, some great racing there. You know, he came from 21st. You know, everybody else, you know, they had a consolation. I think Strunk was in the consolation. Dwayne was in a consolation. Van Doren was in a consolation. There's a lot of drivers. The big hot dog, you know, the top 10 in points were in the consolations. Nate Christman was in the consolation. So all these guys had to, you know, claw their way through and ended up being a pretty good show.
Good.
Danny Snyder, that was fun watching him rock it out to the front. He got a couple challenges from Sam Schlossberg. Schlossberg stuck his nose underneath, and Danny was taking the high side. I even asked him in victory lane, I says, were you watching the lap counters? Damn right I was.
You got to like Danny. You know, he's straightforward and honest. Got to love him. You know, so that's cool. But and then down at New Egypt Speedway for URCs, Kevin Darling picks up the win over Randy West, Davey Franek, J.J. Grasso. I'm sorry to say, Robbie Stillwagon, I think we gave the mojo to Hodnett. Sorry, buddy. You know. But, so that's good. But, so you're going to, what's not going to be at Kutztown?
270s.
270s.
But they get the extra date now during the fair week. They'll have
two
nights.
Shows
during fair week in August. So
what?
we're moving the show. That'll give them two chances to, you know, instead of one during fair week.
That's all right. Now this leads me to this one, this story. Now that the 410s got rained out at Grandview, and let me tell you, the internet was a buzz on this one. Well, they could have ran it, blah, 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 blah. People were crying, pissing and moaning. The Rogers and Mr. Miller are going to make you 410 sprint car fans happy. They're going to pee off some of the sportsman people. But on July 30th, we are now going to have 410 sprint cars and ROC big block, small block modifieds. Correct?
Right.
So.
And your rain checks from the July 2nd Thunder in the Hills show will be honored at $22.
Okay.
So I think you have to pay $3 extra to get in if you want to see that show. In the
big blocks, small blocks, and 410s. It's big blocks. It's a big block, small block.
It's a modified. Just call it a
modified.
Yeah.
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 A big block / small box. So you got your wish, fans. Support the Rogers. Support Mr. Miller and show up. I mean, don't be going on the internet crying and, you know, whining and don't show up. Because I know some of you are out there, and I call you out.
Well, they're going to have there's a show for many of you fans that aren't familiar with this, Posse at the Path. Their 410 sprint cars are returning to Path Valley Speedway on July the 28th. And
2 days before this show.
2 days before this show.
Okay.
And it was the race last year where Cole Duncan went between Dietrich and Raymer for the win, and all of a sudden he established himself as a name to be reckoned with. And then nobody even knew who this kid was, and here he comes into Path Valley and just takes away the field. So That ought to be an interesting show with a posse at the Path on July the 28th, 2 days before the Grandview show.
Well, I hope it works. I hope like Brady Bacon comes back because he was a big diamond, you know. So I hope it works. So, and then we might have to switch up the meet and greet. Yeah, I don't know. We might have to do something different because there's some rumors flying around, but I ain't saying nothing, you know. Yeah. But so it is what it is, though, you know.
Yeah, I was at Pocono. I was pretty happy with what happened at Pocono.
Yeah.
You know, I guess a crowd of probably over 40,000 people between the grandstand and the infield.
Well, they did a smart thing and just let you spread out in the grandstands. They didn't just put everybody in one section because that would have made it look terrible.
That's what they do for the ARCA race. They fence off, or you know,
yeah.
And you can only sit in certain areas for the ARCA race. But for the IndyCar race, $25 a ticket for it. You couldn't beat it.
No.
And it was half price for kids. So, or you know, 16 and under, 15 and under, whatever it was. So, you know, $12.50 to see the Indy stars. That was.
Yeah.
And I was there on Saturday for qualifying. And the nice thing about the Indy drivers compared to their counterparts in the stock car class, these guys want their pictures taken. You know, they'll come at you to get their pictures taken, whereas in a lot of the NASCAR guys, they shun the cameras. They'll walk away from the cameras, and it's starting to show as far as, you know, the fan enthusiasm, because NASCAR really needs something to get the interest back, and the drivers in a way aren't helping as far as, you know, the idea that, you know, they're separating themselves from their fans, and that's not what you really need right now.
No. And, I mean, that Jeff Gordon was there. I seen my one buddy Scott Peters took a picture of him on right there on the...
Up in a shower.
Yeah, and he was on the starting grid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Well, he went to a baseball game in the New York Yankees, and nobody knew him. Him and his kid went to a New York Yankees game. Jeff Gordon says, this is great. He says, I can walk around New York City and nobody knows me.
Didn't he live in New York?
Yeah, he's selling his house in New York, but he does have a house in New York, but he went to the New York Yankees game and nobody even knew him as being there. So,
wow. He probably sat right in the $200 seats, too. Because I know I can't afford them. You know? So, but I don't know. I think that's a good move. What do you think on the Rodgers? And I mean, I'm sorry the sportsmen are getting a little, you know, short sticked on that. But maybe the Rodgers are making up to them.
Yeah, they'll be somewhere down the road where Bob Miller and him and Bruce and Kenny, and then they'll regroup and get them in just so they don't have another lost date. So they'll figure something out.
Yeah, because I think that's American Racer Tire Series Cup for them, too,
yeah.
Race. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, listen. You know,
they'll find a way to get them in.
I hope so. You know, I like the sportsmen, you know. So, how many late models did they have at Grandview?
I believe it was 19.
19? Well,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
A couple outsiders, maybe?
There was one new driver that came in. Everybody else basically was... they were there. I can't remember his name anymore. It was red number 11.
Oh, yeah. He was there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So, and Ron Klein never had a chance. Ron Klein came out for his heat, lasted three laps, took it into the infield, and never came back out for the feature. So, not exactly a good night there for Ron. Corey Fleming had his giveaways again on Saturday.
Isn't that cool?
And Bill Henning also did. They gave away three NASCAR replica train sets, two Tony Stewarts, and I believe a Kyle Busch. But the one little girl that won the bicycle gave Corey a little smooch on his cheek.
Aww.
And then the Low Down and Dirty group was given autographed late model pictures out down at the bottom of the starter stand. Every one of those kids that got a picture thanked us. So
that's cool. That's what it's all about, the kids.
Indeed, yes.
You know,
then you had some, to be blunt, smart ass that
on
Facebook that you know, had to mention his opinions of the racetrack. Well, you know, if you're there to see how nice the lighting is, or if you're there to see how nice the fence is, or if you're there to see how nice the concession stand is, why bother showing up? Because I'm there to see the race.
That's it.
I want to see what happens on the speedway. You know.
Yeah.
Those other.
I don't care if you use Scott's products on the lawn. You know?
It doesn't matter. I'm there to see what happens on the racetrack. And, you know, I don't know where this guy ventures off to, but, you know, he probably sees less cars in five classes at some of these tracks than Grandview had for two. And, you know, it's just one of them deals where, you know, it's a fan he paid to get in. He can save what he wants, but it's just one of the things where, you know, you have your regulars at Grandview, and they're going to stick up for the track. And for 51 years, they must be doing something right.
That's what I say, man. It's been there. And same like 5 Mile Point's been there for like 62 years. So these places, you know, have been doing it right.
Yeah, with the same family ownerships.
Yeah. So I don't understand it, you know. Well, I don't understand. So, we're going to take a break. Okay. And then we're going to get Mr. The Young Gun. The Young Gun. Yeah. We need to play that song.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back.
Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential and commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal serves the Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prompt, friendly service, please give Diamond Disposal a call at 610-845-1117 or visit them on the web at www.diamonddisposalllc.com. For all of our loyal listeners here at Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a 1 month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So give the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. And remember, don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal, 610-845-1117.
I'll tell you. We got on the line Brett Kresley, a popular sportsman driver down at the Grandview Speedway, a hot shoe, and we're going to have a slight discussion with him. If you have any call-ins, make sure you give us a call here at Lowdown and Dirty. Hey, Brett, you were on my strapped-in TV show a couple weeks ago, and you had a couple of nice things to say about Grandview Speedway and your racing as far as it's going so far. I'll ask you a question right off the bat. Is this what you had as expected as your first year at Grandview in a sportsman class?
Well, it's a little bit better than I actually anticipated. Definitely wanted to go out and just finish some races, get some laps on around the track, but turned out to go pretty well so far, without a doubt.
Now, as far as your escapades through the field, I mean, you're not one of these drivers that's actually starting up front and holding everybody off. You got to come through the pack, you know, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. Do you actually find there's a better way around that racetrack at times, because you are basically the last class out a lot of times when it's slick and hard and slick, and, you know, you got to be an actual race car driver to go on a track? Do you actually pick and choose your spots, or if there's something open, you go for it right away?
You can't waste too much time. You know, you pretty much go where they're not and try and make something happen pretty quick to get to the front.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to get around the high side pretty well there. I mean, you know, it seems like everybody halfway through the feature, you just all of a sudden appear on that high side and just buzz around the top. You like your car set up for the high side?
Yeah, you can keep your momentum up top and kind of, you know, roll it pretty nice on the outside and pick them off one by one.
I mean, he came in at Victory Lane 2 weeks ago, pretty cool, without a car, just slid in. So that was
to be unique.
Yeah. You were unique, and you said that was a power steering fluid, because you said you felt oil or something running all over it, so he jumped out, stopped the car, and he come. I said, here he comes, he's running down with no car. I thought he was like that Ricky Bobby, you know.
I'm on fire.
Yeah, I'm on fire. So how many years you been racing now?
It's been about 3.5.
Okay. Now, someone told me you used to run Bridgeport before you come to Grandview?
Yes. Yeah, I've been running Bridgeport for the past about 2.5 years. My dad has been running the big block stuff, so it worked out good to take two cars and run, you know, get it over with per se in one night.
Well, how can you compare Grandview and Bridgeport? I mean, they're, like, totally different. I mean, Bridgeport, you could kind of, like, cruise, you know, down the back straightaway. Grandview, you got to be up on the wheel all the time.
And honestly, that's why I kind of wanted to make the change. Bridgeport, bad to say, but I was kind of getting bored, you know. Been racing there for a few years. I wanted to try something different and see how I could do down here. Pretty happy I kind of did that switch.
Well, good. I mean, I think it's a good move. I mean, you're just one of them young up-and-town. Do you have any, like, future, like, maybe stepping up to a 358 small block?
In the future.
Yeah.
Well, my dad said conquer one thing first, then take the next step.
Okay.
So.
Well, now, when dad raced, you probably were, like, right there in the garage, right underneath his feet, huh?
Yeah, without a doubt.
So you picked it up, I mean, you know, the wrenches, and you just learned how to set up a car, and when you got time to strap in, you knew exactly what you wanted.
With working on the car, it definitely makes a difference. I think you kind of, you know, makes you a better driver knowing how to set it up and work on it every week.
And no crescent wrenches on the car.
No crescent wrenches.
Yeah, that was like a rule. Don't come into garage with a crescent wrench.
Okay, with the ROC modifieds coming to Grandview in July the 30th, are we going to see you or your dad in the field anywhere?
More than likely. You'll definitely see my dad for sure. We've been kicking it around to possibly let me run a car too, but for sure my dad will be there in the car.
No. Does dad race at Bridgeport on Saturdays? And you're at Grandview on Saturdays.
He picks and chooses.
He's actually just picking and choosing some special shows to run. He was just at Georgetown this past Friday night and got a second down there. So.
Wow.
Normally he runs when I'm not running.
Well, apple don't fall far from the tree then, kid. You know?
It's going good so far.
Yes, it is.
Now, when you're in the garage, Brett, is both cars in the same working area, or is it sort of split up to keep the sportsman away from the modified?
No, both cars sit next to each other. They in the same shop. The third one kind of out floats around, moves around to different spots, but the two main ones we run are always next to each other.
Sunday morning breakfast conversations must be great.
How much garage time you put on the car during the week then?
I've been fortunate enough to have a guy that's been helping me out during the week. He floats around during the day, does some maintenance stuff. So I've been pretty fortunate where I don't have to put too many hours in at night. Oh, you know, when all goes well and you don't wreck anything, just typical maintenance. So it's been a couple nights, a couple hours a week here and there.
Okay. Now, when you get out on that speedway, being you are basically a rookie to Grandview anyway, was there anybody you sort of patterned your hot laps after? I know your dad's been a racer there for quite some time, but it's not the idea that you can't follow him anyway. But is there anybody you'd like to follow out for hot laps and just see if they have the same thing going that you do for that night?
I like to tag with either Jared Umenhauer or Craig Whitmore. You know, those two guys know how to get around the place in the sportsman's.
Now, in your pit area, where do you pit any pit near any of the sportsman guys at Grandview?
Right now I'm actually next to a late model and modified. There's not too many sportsmen around me, actually.
Good, you can keep all your secrets to yourself. You know,
keep it that way.
Yeah. So, what do you? I mean, how old are you? 18, 19, 20?
I'm actually 21.
21.
I just turned 21.
Well, congratulations. Yep. You did have your first beer?
Yeah, the first one, the first legal one.
Yeah. Good one. Yeah. So, are you going to school? Do you have a job? What do you do, like, you know, from 9 to 5?
I actually put 2 years of college in, and I work 6 days a week at Cressley's Auto and Truck Sales, turning wrenches and working on trucks and cars.
Okay. 6 days a week, so that money. Saturday morning, you're at work?
Unfortunately, that's where you'll find me. But the cars are in the same vicinity there, so it works out okay.
So, I understand.
He says he's there, but he's working on the race car, so it says.
Yeah, he's there, you know. He's on the clock, you know.
It all works out in the end.
Good, I like that.
And any plans for any of the bigger end of the season races like Syracuse or something like that, or you just want to get your, you know, learning experience down at Grandview and get that underway?
Probably not Syracuse, maybe, you know, maybe a Delaware race or Hager's if they have anything going, or a couple of those.
Hey, if you ran Bridgeport, man, you could run Syracuse.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool track.
It's just, will Dad let you run Syracuse yet? Has Dad
not
ever
yet.
Run
he
Syracuse?
He said he wants to do it before he retires. So.
Well, you ain't running it till Dad runs it, kid. You know, Dad's got to go
first.
That's
going to work.
Yeah, Dad's going to have to do it first. You know, he's not going to. So, hey, what's it like on a Sunday morning? I mean, your dad races down at Bridgeport and you race at Grandview on Saturday night. And suppose you win and Dad doesn't. Do you get more pancakes?
I don't know how to answer that one. I guess he buys breakfast then instead of the other way around.
Where's Mom go? What's Mom do?
But,
well, I mean, I wouldn't know what to do if I was if I was a wife or a mother of my son Grayson and his dad. I wouldn't know what to do. I just did you get in contact with Dad at the track at Bridgeport? Like, you know, does Dad get done before you?
I don't think they always run.
No, not on the same night.
No. No, because Brian's usually at Grandview when Brett's running. It's when Brett's not running, that's when they find their, you know, like if Bridgeport would go to a Friday night or a midweek show.
Yeah, yes. But when I'm off, that's normally when he works the race into his schedule.
Any thoughts about hopping into something besides like a modify, like a late model or a sprint car, Brett?
I'm pretty happy with modifieds right now. Sprint cars, to be honest, something I probably would never take that path. They're a little too flipsy for me. I kind of, you know, like the sheet metal around you and stuff like that. So maybe I'd try a late model out, but I'm happy with modifieds right now. We'll see where that takes me. Yeah, they do flip, but it seems like a sprint car, it's not a, you know, you're pretty much definitely going to take a spill pretty frequently
okay.
with the sprint cars.
Yeah. Now, with your dad there watching, overseeing you on the racetrack during hot laps, when you come in from hot laps, who has the final say on chassis setups? Do you actually give him what you think it needs, or is he seeing something that you normally aren't feeling out on the racetrack?
Normally, I give my feedback, and he kind of does what he wants to do with it. I let it up to him at the track.
Now, as far as what kind of chassis you're on, Brett?
A TO chassis.
Okay. Is that what you've had the whole time then, as a TO?
Yes, that's what I started in.
Is there any difference, basically, in would you think about going to a Bicknell or one of those Higfab chassis or something if there for a while it just doesn't have the right feel under you, or are you going to stick with what you got?
More than likely, I'll probably stick with what I got. I'm pretty familiar with, you know, the way everything works on them and how everything, you know, handles and all the parts, you know, we have for them, and probably just stick with the TOs. They're not treating me too bad right now.
Okay, now are you one of these drivers that comes out at the intermission and starts poking the track with a screwdriver?
I normally don't poke the track. I normally, you know, walk up with Dad and lean against the wall and you know, eye it up a little bit, see, just check out the spot, see how it's, you know, wearing in, see where the groove is.
Now, even though you're a race car driver, do you follow any other types of racing like IndyCar, NASCAR, World of Outlaws? Do you follow any of that stuff, or are you just basically sort of geared to, you know, what you got around the Grandview area?
I like to watch, turn the NASCAR race on a Sunday and relax after the cars get washed and stuff. So mainly NASCAR. I like the World of Outlaws just to check their results out and stuff and see what's happening there.
Okay. Now, while we're on this after washing a car, how long does it take to wash a modified after a night at Grandview?
Normally, we start at about 9:30 and finish up about 1:30. So
do all the body panels come off then, Brett? You actually strip it right down to the inner rails and everything?
Yes. Yeah, we strip as much as we can off and, you know, wash every piece. And it seems like, you know, the crew loves to be there at the races, but they don't love to be there when the, you know, the hard part comes around.
ARDC Midget Man Washing.
Okay, now, from the washing point of view, can you actually get a rough estimate of how much added weight you get on your sportsman car after a night of racing at Grandview?
When you start pulling the clumps off, you definitely can tell there's some weight there. You know, it depends how heavy they have it, but normally you can pull it easily 10, 15 pounds, maybe 20 some nights of mud off of the car without a doubt.
Wow.
I would have never thought that.
Now, as far as your tires, when you were on my show, Brett, we were talking about it. You run different tires for your qualifying than you do for the feature?
Most of the time, there's a set for the qualifying event and a different set for the feature event.
Are you part of that American Racer tire deal? At Grandview?
Are you in that club that they have, Brett, where you, I guess they give a free tire out to the sportsman model? Are you in that down there every week?
Yes. I haven't won one yet, but I'm
in it. I was going to say, have you won any yet?
Are you a sleeper in the infield?
You fall asleep in the infield, Brett? Because a couple guys, they'll sit there and they realize, you know, they're going to be a while before they go on a racetrack. And do you actually take a little snooze in the infield, like when you're sitting there waiting for your grid to get called to the speedway?
No, I actually watch the track, watch where people are running, you know, stuff, see how if it's widening out the grooves or where the guys are running, just get a feel for it before I go out there.
Okay. Now, do you feel that 25 laps is a good distance for the sportsman, or would you like to see him, you know, go up to like 30 laps like the modifieds run?
25 seems to be okay. I wouldn't be opposed to running 30 laps. Just give you a little extra time, you know, to get to the front if you need it. But 25 seems to work out very well. I think 20 would be too short, but 25 is pretty good right in the middle.
Okay. Now, say there's a chance that, you know, Grandview might have an off night or something like that, and would you think about trying the Mahoning Valley dirt modified class and running on asphalt?
No, honestly, that doesn't excite me too much. So, no,
what the,
I wouldn't go that route.
You wouldn't go, you know, not so much for the asphalt racing then?
No, not particularly.
Okay, now, your racing career, has it always been in the sportsmen's and the modifieds, or did you start with something a little bit smaller class when you first got in behind the steering wheel?
No, I started right in modifieds in the sportsman division. So my dad said, this is probably what you're going to end up in, so figure this out right from the beginning. You know, if you run other things, you could develop bad habits. So it's a fresh start, and you can figure it out.
Have you figured any? Have you basically think you got it all figured out right now? Is it just the point of making sure that you know the car's maintained and ready to go, or is there still a couple of things you'd like to learn along the way? You know, going through traffic or picking your spots on the racetrack a little bit better.
There's definitely it's always a learning experience trying to figure new things out, where to gain a little bit of time here or there. I'd like a little more experience on a slippery track. You know, I respect the guys that are really good up in New York on the bottom of the track and make up time.
Well, it's amazing though, because you know, you talk to some of these New York drivers like that run at Penn Can and Five Mile Point and Middletown and Accord. You know, they're used to the track that you run on, you know, every Saturday night. But the thing about it is, even when they come down, you know, midweek shows, wherever the case may be, for, you know, some of the special events, it seems like the Grandview drivers still know how to show the way or lead the way when it comes to that. So I guess the idea of putting you on a track like that does make your driving a little bit better when it comes to having the invaders coming in.
It definitely helps being there every week and knowing the track. And definitely people, you know, say Grandview is a place to get around. Just everybody you talk to.
Okay, right now you are in the battle for the point championship. Are you actually looking at the big picture? You know, would you try, if say you're fifth with three laps to go or four laps to go, would you try to take that extra chance for the win, or would you settle for that third or fourth place finish looking at the big picture for a point championship?
I'd more than likely go for the win. Honestly, we weren't really points counting this year. We were just trying to go for, you know, get some experience and maybe get a couple wins. So, but now that we have got a few wins, maybe we'll rethink it towards the end. But right now I'm still going for, you know, just wins, not really thinking about points too much.
Okay. Who does the engines and the carburetor for you, Brett?
Morgantini Race Engines has been doing the engines. They jumped on board with me this year. They took me in. I'm happy with them. They've treated me very fair.
Morgantini, yeah. They're based out of, there was one down around Elverson. That wasn't down. I don't think that's them, though. Where are they based out of?
Scranton area.
Scranton, yeah, okay. Yeah. So. Yeah. Do they do any motors for anybody else in around the Grandview area that you're competing against?
There's a couple. I think Kenny Gilmore uses Morgantini. One or two others, I can't think. There was that Steve Searock, but he jumped the gun and went to Bridgeport. I'm not sure who else uses.
Now, are the payoffs comparable, comparing Bridgeport to Grandview? I mean, I've talked to a couple of people that run Bridgeport, and, you know, they like the idea of the speed sensations and stuff, but they said Bridgeport has really been sort of rough on tires this year, and that sort of offsets the cost or whatever going down. Is there a comparable payout between Grandview and Bridgeport?
Grandview, without a doubt, has a little better payoff. And for me, it equaled out in the end. I don't have to travel as far, so I can save some money on tolls and fuel.
Okay. And as far as your car has never really looked like it's been any kind of wrecks, you're always doing body work, or the car's always looking sharp looking. Who does your bodies and who does the graphics on your car?
Rick Laubach at Lightning Bodies does the body for me, and Scotty's Design does the lettering for me.
Okay. Now, tomorrow night at Kutztown, the action track, they're going to have 600 micro speed weeks. And did you ever think about possibly just hopping into one of them just for the sake of giving you some other racing during the week? Or are you so busy, you know, getting your race car ready for Grandview that you don't have time to go out and do some midweek racing or some midweek watching?
I'd be open to anything if somebody, you know, asked me to try it out or give me a ride. I'd definitely not be opposed to it. It'd be something cool to do. But if there's a big race, check it. Check new things out, watch, you know, different tracks.
Well, Kutztown on Wednesday, that speedster class pays $2,000 to win. The micros, it's like a car count person, but they're running tomorrow night, I believe, for $1,000 to win. So, but they run on every Wednesday evening. Are you a racer that just wants to race? Or, like you just said, would you hop in anything if it was offered to you, or would you be a little bit selective as far as what you decide to get into?
I'd probably, you know, something out of Kutztown would be fun to give a try. I'd hop in and try it out.
So what words of wisdom has your father passed on to you down, you know, since you've been racing? Is it basically stuff to look out on the racetrack as far as what you're doing on a speedway, or is he trying to tell you more about how to handle things in the pit area after you come in from a night of racing?
Normally it's all on track stuff with patience and, you know, trying to pick the right lane and not being too aggressive and knowing when to, you know, do the right thing.
Now, do you have any merchandise for sale that the fans can come and buy from you?
I'm working on shirts right now. I had a few just made for the crew and stuff, but I'm working on getting some together to put up for sale and sell some.
Okay. Now, do you find that the public media, like Facebook and Twitter, that you're starting to attract some attention through that?
Without a doubt, you know, you definitely, you know, see some people adding you on Facebook and following you on Instagram and all these, you know, things, social media sites, definitely picked up since I've been winning.
Okay, now, do you have an actual website, Brett?
I do not. Not for the racing, no.
Just the Facebook page.
Correct.
So when it comes down to your actual racing and stuff, are you one of these safety conscious guys with the Hans device and the double layer driving suit or the underwear or something? Because there are some guys that still, even though with the accidents and stuff we had, sort of bypass everything. So you into all the safety gear?
For the fireproof stuff, I have the racing underwear and the double layer suit. I have a Hans device. Normally I always use it at Bridgeport, at Grandview. I tend to not use it as often as I should.
No, you should use it every time, young man.
Yes, mother.
Yeah. I mean that's just, you know, it's for your safety, you know.
Yeah, no. They, like I said, my mom always nags me about, you know, always
so
wearing
you
it.
Do you just find it uncomfortable or just not comfortable with it?
It's a little uncomfortable to wear it. It restricts your turning vision a little bit.
I've met you 4 times in Victory Lane, but I've never checked the car. Do you have a full containment seat?
Yes.
Yes, good seat. See, that's a good move. You know, so... So yeah, I think you're getting a fan base. So I think someone should come up with T-shirts. I mean, I think you'd sell them. I think they'd go big.
Like I said, hopefully soon here. I'm working on getting some things together with them. Hopefully we can get them out before too long.
All right. Now, do you want to like adventure like maybe up to Big Diamond sometimes? You know.
Probably just for some special races, just for the bigger races. I'd go up there. Probably nothing weekly.
No. All right. Hey, I asked that question. When you're in the infield for hot laps, do you just like to like relax? I mean, do you just like watch other guys, or do you just relax inside the car and kind of just put yourself in a trance?
I normally peek over and watch, you know, the other guys where they're running or, you know, how the track's taking. You know, a higher groove, lower groove, just kind of where the guys are running. I have an idea before I go out where the fast lane is.
Right. Now for hot laps, can you learn anything from hot laps or just to make sure everything's tight, you know, no leaks or?
Normally that's just a couple shakedown laps, make sure the car's, you know, running okay. And the track's normally a little different after that. And then even for the heats and the features, totally different.
Right. All right. Well, hey, hang on.
Brett, you did an interview with NASCAR. Were you expecting it? And if not, and how'd it go?
It was very caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting it at all, and it went very well. Everybody was, you know, at the Reddit said it was a very nice article, and I was very pleased about it and had the opportunity to have it done on me.
Now, was this based out of the actual Daytona Beach NASCAR, or was this something done through their Hall of Fame in Charlotte?
Yes, when I it popped up on my phone, Daytona, Florida, when the call came through. So.
And then did they ask about your career or your sudden rise or the you know, thought that you know, your first year at Grandview and you're a winner, or is this, were they just looking for information on, you know, what you plan to do or whatever the case may be, you know, down the road?
The article was mainly because of my quick success down there is what drew their attention, they said, making the switch and being successful in the beginning.
Okay, so with all the fans that you're starting to track down at Grandview, are you one of these drivers that likes to see the fans come in after your night's over, or had you had enough after your, you know, 25 laps are done and you just want to load up and go home?
No, I enjoy interacting with the fans and meeting new people. I'm a pretty personable, you know, I like to talk to people and kind of get to know them and stuff.
So you don't mind that the fans come in with their young kids and ask if they can stand a sighting and have a picture taken or get a couple autographs or something?
No, not at all. Normally I, from Bridgeport, used to go behind the stands there. They had that deal after the race. If you finish in the top five, you could go behind the stands and sign autographs and get pictures. So that kind of broke me in for all that stuff.
Now, were you one of those drivers that did that, went out behind the grandstands at Grandview and did a meet and greet?
I wasn't asked to do that yet.
Oh, well, we're going to have to – would you like to be there sometime and meet the fans and, you know, hear what they have to say about your racing career at Grandview so far?
Yeah, I'd love to, really.
There we go. In fact, we got one of the people that asked for the meet. Brett said he would like to do a meet and greet, so have to hook him up and get him out there.
We'll get you out there. We just got to talk to the queen. She sets it up. But, man, I appreciate you wanting to come out. That's cool. The fans would like to see that.
You know? I'd really enjoy it.
Cool. Well, we're going to make sure we're going to highlight that. And you know what would even be better is when you have your shirts. Then you can come out and sell them all.
Hopefully.
Yeah, because, yeah, we, you know, they let you sell your merchandise and everything there. So, but, yeah, we will make sure that happens before too long, maybe in the next couple weeks. You know, you got any preferred late model guy and a modified guy you want to come out with?
Not particularly. No, I'm pretty open to anybody.
I just got, young man, you hold yourself very well for, you know, you're a professional and you're very good and you sell yourself. And that's what it's all about in this age in racing. You know,
well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, hey, future plans? I mean, step it up 358 and maybe, you know, dirt modifieds, maybe?
I'd like to one day. We'll see where the sportsman takes me here in the next year or two.
Right. Yeah, you know, maybe one day race down there at the Syracuse and one time at the World Finals, maybe, you know?
But still pretty young, so we'll definitely have to conquer that later in life.
Yeah, so. But, hey, we just want to say thank you. We really appreciate you coming on. And
I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah. Hey, you want to give a shout-out to the sponsors?
Yeah, Crestley's Auto and Truck Sales, Spiracino Auto Transport, Morgantini Racing Engines. And thanks, shout-out to my dad and the whole crew for helping me out, putting all this up here for me. So I appreciate it.
Good. All right. Well, thank you very much, Brett, for coming on Lowdown in 30, man. We really appreciate it. And best of luck for the rest of the season. And I'll probably see you in Victory Lane.
All righty. Sounds good. Like I said, thanks for having me again, and I'll see you at the track.
All right. Thanks. Take care, Brett.
All right. See ya.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We'd like to thank Brett Kressley for joining us tonight. Due to technical difficulties, we're down to one mic here for some reason on Lowdown and Dirty tonight, and we apologize. We're gonna kill the show a little bit early tonight. Danny Snyder said he'd be on next week, and we're gonna take him up on that probably. And we appreciate Danny standing by, and he was ready to come on, but. We're just going to kill the show. We can't do justice to Danny with only one mic here and stuff like that. So we're going to kill the show early tonight and try to regroup and get our technical difficulties straightened out till next week. So on behalf of Brian Whippy Whitman, Mike Feltenberger, and myself, Scott Deal, we're going to sign off tonight and hope you all have a good week, rest of the week, and I'm going to Indiana. So, Whippy's hating me right now, but I really don't care because I'm leaving Thursday to go see some wingless sprint car racing. So, you all have a good rest of the week. See you at the races, and we're out of here.